Well, last week we had a series that we started on, it's called What Child Is This? And part of that is there's a poem that was written called The Manger Throne. It was put together with some songs back in the middle 1800s. And last week we focused on, as we were going through that song, parts of it, of how that song, how does it answer the question, what child is this? And last week we went through, talked about the part in the song about being a shepherd and how that defined who Jesus was, that he's a shepherd, that he came and laid down his life for the sheep. And he continues to shepherd us and look for us. And, you know, it's one assuring thing to know that the salvation of the world is not on my shoulders. Isn't that nice to know? That I don't have to go out there trying to fix and seek and everything, that I can trust just as much as he loved me. And when I was lost and in sin and hopeless, he found me. He's looking for everybody else all over the world. There's not a geographical thing. It's not just the United States of America or just in a certain nation. It's all over the world. He's seeking those who he might be saved. Those he's seeking them. Those who don't want him. Those who can't stand him. Those who are speaking against him. Those who are totally lost in, as I was, you know, that he's seeking them. Those who are speaking words against him and stuff, he's seeking them that they can. You know, that's the good shepherd. That's part of answer what child is. The other one we talked a little bit about last week was that the wise men, how that referred in that song, even though it didn't exactly address them, it talked about their gifts, how that they left someplace where Jesus left heaven and came and sought after him and came and gave, and how we have Jesus who left heaven, came to earth, gave his life for us, and is continually giving. He never stopped giving, never stops. It's part of him. He doesn't do it just because it's a holiday. You know, it's who he is. He's a giving God, and he has that. So those are some of the things we went through. The interesting thing is, how many of you, somewhere during Christmas, either now or sometime, have some kind of nativity scene you put up as a decoration? And so typically, you know, when we look at the nativity scenes, there's different people. Some of them, we might just have a couple little things. Some of them might have a lot of different parts of the nativity scene. And when we go through the song, it basically talks about everything in this nativity scene. Tell us about, you know, the Mary and the shepherds and the wise men. But the thing is, you know, in that song, there's a person that's missing. There's a person that this song doesn't talk about. You know who that is? Joseph. Never mentions him. In fact, you know, in the Gospels, the book of Mark doesn't mention Joseph at all. There's never anything in the scriptures about a single word Joseph ever said. It just mentions who he is. And the scriptures, though, do infer that this was Joseph, that this was Jesus' dad, or there was something happened. And if you look through the scriptures, through the story of Jesus' birth, that one of the things that it talks about was that Joseph, when the angel came to Joseph, says, and you will name him Jesus. Well, back then, it was the father's responsibility to name the child. And I don't know if you remember the story of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist, his dad, Zechariah, couldn't speak. And when he was born, they asked his mom, Elizabeth, what are you going to name him? He says, we're going to name him John. They go, it's like, you don't know what you're talking about, woman. And so they said, no, we're going to go to the authority. Let's go ask Zechariah. He's the one that's going to be the final authority. And he said, his name's John. And so there was that. And another thing that happened back then, it's not in the scriptures, but typically when a baby is born, the father would take him and place him on their knees. And that was a sense of walking them in their family. They just lay him on their knees. Well, we're going to, you know, it's not in the Bible, but assume that's probably something Joseph did. And if you did it with a child that really wasn't your child, that was a sign of adoption. And so really, Joseph's role was to adopt Jesus into his family. His role was to be a part of that. And we can believe that, you know, part of the thing with a father, and there were several scriptures that talk about Mary, even just mentioned that Jesus was referred to Joseph as Jesus' father. If you remember in the book of Luke, where they went, all the family, Joseph and Mary and Jesus and however many, I'm sure there was other kids in there, came to Jerusalem and for the Passover, and then they left and they realized they forgot Jesus. I mean, how many ever lost your child before? It's pretty intense, isn't it, when you look around, especially when your child loves to hide in the clothing racks. And you're just like, it's like, ah, that intense moment. So, but when they found him, Mary said to Jesus, says, didn't you realize that your father and I were stressed out looking for you? So there was none of this, you know, separation. They really, Joseph was Jesus' father, perceived as Jesus' father. The disciples, in the scripture, the disciples referred to him, Philip, when he went to Nathanael, and he says, come on. He says, we have found this Jesus. We have found Jesus. And it says, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So there was a connection there. Jesus, and even and if you look in the Gospels, they refer to Jesus as the son of Joseph. So it was pretty much solidified, this is Jesus' adopted father. And you know, if you look at Jesus' life, there's something about when we're going through life that our father has a lot of impact on a person's life. Whether good or bad, whether they were there or not there, there's an impact. And how, and a lot of counseling books would tell you that how we perceive our Heavenly Father, at least at the beginning, will relate to how we related to our earthly father. And if you look at Jesus' life, he had a pretty good relationship with his Heavenly Father, didn't he? He really wanted to honor him. He wanted to do his will. He loved him. I'm just going to surmise that that's what Joseph and Jesus' relationship was. That Joseph didn't hinder that. He didn't cause that to stumbling block with that. There was something about him. We don't know. We don't, it doesn't say, but we have someone here today that's going to help us maybe perceive a little bit of that.
You know, I've carved a dozen or so of these over the years. I made the first one for my son. Well, it's going to look like an angel when I get done with it. At least how I remember one anyway. Oh, you mean I never told you that story? Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. Let's see, goodness, that's been about 30 years ago now, I think. You know, before my son was born, I often wondered who he was going to look like. Of all the things to be worried about, who he's going to look like, right? I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, back then, his mother Mary and I were engaged to be married, and during the engagement, I found out she was pregnant, and I knew the baby wasn't mine. So I decided I was going to end the engagement, but I was trying to decide how I was going to do that because I really didn't want to make a big fuss about it. But while I was trying to decide, one night I had a dream. At least I think it was a dream. It was just so real. But anyhow, in this dream, this angel, he told me that I was to go ahead and marry her, and that I wasn't to be afraid about the baby, because the baby Mary was carrying was God's baby. Think about that one. God's baby. So anyway, I did what that angel told me to do, and I married her, and time went by, and I thought about all the things that I'd been told by this angel, and you know, it occurred to me that he was very special, and that somehow he was on loan to us. You know, it's our custom that when a child is born, that they bring the baby to the father, and the father takes the child and puts him across his knees. And what that signifies is that the father accepts this child as his legitimate descendant. So, you know, time went on, and Mary gave birth to our son, and they did just that. They brought him to me, and I held my hands out. And I have to tell you, I have to confess, my hands were shaking. I mean, this was God's baby and all that they were bringing to me. So I took him, and I laid him across my knees, and I gave him his name, Jesus. and I claimed them for my own. You know, as time gone by, I've wondered about all the things that we've encountered with this son. You know, the whole thing about the temple and finding him way back in the pack. But you know, he's a grown man now. He's been going to the temple and learning all kinds of things. Every once in a while, he teaches. You should come down there and hear him sometime. It's pretty good, got to tell you. You know, I'm also reminded of one thing that that angel told me during my dream. He said, your son is going to be called Emmanuel. And what that means is God with us. And I thought, God with us. So anyhow, who's he going to look like? Well, if you ask me, I'd say he looks like God.
Thank you, Steve. Amen. Do you know the word Emmanuel? You know, Lois and I were talking about this. God with us. You know, there's God with us and God with us. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, it's not that he's here. He's here. He's in us. Yes, he's with us, but he is in us. And that's just what a great blessing. This is just a personal little side note. As I was listening to Steve there, and I was thinking, I thought, you know, because after Jesus was 12, we don't really know what happened to Joseph. We know what happened. And I wonder sometimes if the Lord took him to save us. I couldn't imagine as a dad sitting here watching this going, my son, without putting up a fight and saying, so I think, okay, we need to have Joseph maybe not be around. But that's just, anyway, I don't know if you catch all that. But so when we look at what child is this, we see some of these characteristics of Joseph, that this is a child who had this heart of adoption, had a heart to include ones and to have ones be a part of the life and to know that love, know what it is to be a part of that family and the family of God. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, he was talking about Jesus and this Jesus who came in the manger but then gave us life to rescue all creation. If you read the book of Romans chapter 8, if you look in the Revelation, there's redemption goes on more than just human, more than just us. I believe there's redemption of the whole earth that's happening. That all Bible says all creation is groaning for the manifestation, for once to see the children of God come forth. There's just something that happens there. But Joseph, I mean Paul, he said that this is in Galatians chapter 4. Right up there. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons or daughters. Basically, it's just children. And because you are God's children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are heir through God. There is something about being an heir in Christ. There's so many blessings. I encourage you to pray that. Pray, say, Lord, help me know what does it mean to be an heir of Christ, in Christ? What does it mean to be an heir of him? What is that? What does all does that entail? Because there's so many great blessings in that. So this child is one who makes adoption into his family possible. And not only that, and Steve referred to it about a name. When the angel told Mary and Joseph, they said, you're going to name your son Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. And the word name Jesus actually means God saves. And what God saves, God adopts. It's just who he is. It's his character. It's not just, well, I'm just going to go save someone. There's a sense in him. He's such a loving father. He's such one who cares. He says, I want to become this child's father. I want to them to know and take on those characteristics. And as we heard, I believe some of those characteristics of Joseph, when you think about Joseph, he was a man of faith and trust. Jesus was a man of faith and trust. He was God, but he was also man. He had those same feelings. In the book of Romans chapter 8, Paul wrote to the church in Romans, he says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." Now, if you catch that, not just heirs, but fellow heirs with Christ. All the blessings God bestowed on Christ, we get too. Talk about grace and something to be thankful for. "Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." You know, there's something about the Christian life. When I first got saved, I went to, there was a crusade at Harding High School that a singer come in. I don't know if you guys remember Sammy Hall. You ever heard of him? He came in and it was for the youth at Harding High School. And this was on a, I don't remember, one of the weeknights or something. And he gave a call of salvation. It was all kinds, dozens, maybe 100-something youth got saved that night. I had just gotten saved. I just became a Christian. But my friend, who I went to high school with, he's been a Christian for a long time, he was one of the counselors there. So they were sitting down, and we were sitting around this little circle, and he was explaining to them what just happened. And then he told them, he says, "You know what, tonight it's exciting and all this, but tomorrow you may not feel like that. There's going to be trials and tests." Now I'm thinking, why are you telling them that? Why are you telling them there's going to be any trials or tests? Let's make it all look good. You know, let's tell them life's going to be wonderful. You're never going to have any problems again. But how many know that's not true? The thing is in the midst of those tests and trials, Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. And that is a great blessing for that. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus and he said, "God the Father predestined us for adoption as son." When God did this whole plan with Jesus, it wasn't just, "Well, I want people to be saved and go to heaven. I want a family." He predestined us to be adopted as his children according to the purpose of his will. This is, if you want to know what God's will is, his will is that you be adopted. His will that you know what it is to be a part of his family. And there's several other scriptures in there. And Steve referred to a part of the adoption process is sometimes you get a new name. I know Ben and Elizabeth, when they adopted their twins, they changed their middle name, I think it was. But when we get to heaven, the Bible says we get a new name. There's a name that's specially named for you, which sort of solidifies that adoption process. So this child is one who enables adoption of God's family and gives us a new name, this Jesus. And part of that is that the truth of this is when at the beginning when we were sharing about who he is, that the bottom line is this child Jesus is who through whom we receive our adoption as sons and daughters. What child is this? He is him. He is the one who helps us. And at the beginning, when I shared, I mentioned about the whole sense of belonging and being valued. It's sort of a two-way street. Here, God, the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit has presented all this to us. But we have to choose. And you think, why wouldn't somebody choose this? You know, Jesus said, "Wide is the road that leads to death and destruction. Narrow is the road that leads to life." There's a lot of things out there. In other words, the road is easy. If we just do what flow with the things of the world and just do what's comfortable, you really got to stop and ask, is this the wide road or is this the narrow road? What road am I on? What road am I traveling here? That doesn't mean that we don't walk in the love, joy, peace, patience, all the wonderful things of God, and we don't need stress and trials all of our life. That's not the purpose. God, well, we just talked about that. But the fact that, what road are we on? And it's not just the fact that, you know, you could live at the same address and not be part of a family. Anybody ever, do you understand that? That you can be, and there's a sense that We can come to church, be called a Christian, but still not have that sense of adoption, sense of being a part of a family. And those who have experienced, those who have actually either been adopted or adopted, you understand part of that process. There's something about the adoption process, but then there's something about that individual becoming part of the family. And that's what part of this abundant life is that we step through and become part of that. And some of it is trusting in who adopted us and understanding. If our musicians come back up, please. At the first verse I read, said that Jesus came that we might have this extraordinary life. Not by the world's definition, but by heaven's definition. The abundant life. So what is heaven's definition? I challenge you, that's something you and God. Talk to him. Ask him. There's a promise in the Bible. I believe this firmly about every area of life. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, ask and you receive, knock and the door will be open, seek and you will find. There's something about going to God, say, God, I don't know the answer. I believe this. I did it a lot when raising our kids. I have no idea what to do here, God. Help me. And then being open, where that help's going to come from. It may come from the strangest place. It may come from just some little line on the radio or something you hear on TV or something you read in a book or something. But open and ask him, Lord, help me. Help me know what it means, this adoption. Help me know what it means to what heaven's extraordinary life is. If we go ahead and stand. Have you made, how many in here would say, I made the decision to be adopted by God? Now, you don't have to raise your hand on this one. But how many of you have somewhere stopped in the adoption process? That we went through some of the steps, but because of hurts, because of maybe somebody ticked you off or something they don't understand or something going in life, you said, nah, we're just going to stop here. When we talked at the beginning, we talked about the prayer group that was over here, we talked about safety. There is no one, nothing in all creation where you can be more safe is than with God. Why? Because he knows you better than yourself. He knows everything that's going on, and he still loves us so much. As Shiloh said earlier, the scripture says, while we were yet sinners, while we had no desire of him, he loved us. He gave his life for us. Are you willing to move on in that adoption process? Are you willing to allow the Heavenly Father to begin to even more so show you what it means to be a part of his family? What does that mean? I don't fully know. I don't know what that fully means because you walk in your understanding. But I'm going to pursue it. I encourage us all to pursue that. But I believe this is one big part of the adoption process. Jesus said it. I believe his earthly father Joseph taught him. I believe it's heavenly father God taught him. And he said it in the Garden of Gethsemane. And these are the words he said. He said, not my will, but your will, Father. As we go through life and hit those process, part of the adoption process when we say, not my will, but your will, Father. You ever hit those times when you didn't want to hit that? You know, when you didn't want to forgive somebody because they didn't deserve forgiveness. None of us deserves forgiveness. But we say, not my will, but your will, Father. Some way he wants us to reach out and love someone we can't stand, we don't like, we don't want to be around. Something we want to give up, some process, or just it might simply be allowing him to love you. Say, Lord, not my will. Can you believe it's people's wills to not want to receive God's love? We don't maybe define it that way, but that's what we're doing. So not my will, Father, but your will. You love me, God. You go ahead and change my heart, my life. Can we say that together? Not my will, but your will, Father. Let's say that together. Not my will, but your will, Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. As you said in your word, your thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. Your ways are so much greater. But we thank you, Lord, that all that is founded in who you are. That your love, You forgive, God. You're merciful. You're kind. You're generous. Your hope and dream, your plans for us, God, are extraordinary, abundant, Lord, whatever that means, Lord, for us. And we ask, Lord, that even this Christmas season, that you would help us to know your abundant life, God, that you have for us. Help us to know that what chalice is that Jesus came that we might be adopted, fully adopted, and receive all the blessings as sons and daughters, God. There is no stair step. There is no process that one's better than the other in your kingdom when you're receiving blessings. We just welcome, Lord, for the blessings and the knowledge of knowing who you are. And not just knowing it in our minds, God, but experiencing it in our hearts and our life. We thank you for being Emmanuel, God with us, but God in us. Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. We give you that glory, God, for that. We ask, Lord, this day your blessing. As we go from here, Lord, that we not go from you and your plan for our life. We give you glory in Jesus' name.